Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. Well, we are in the midst of a message which I've entitled The Glory Restored, and I've been taking quite a bit of time to establish a foundation because I want you to understand and be encouraged in your present walk with God, how God is going to be dealing with you, how He is going to be encouraging you and directing you, but we need to understand how He has dealt with His people in terms of the Word of God. And we were looking at God's dealings with man under the Old Covenant. That because at that point in time under the Old Covenant, only the king, the prophet, and the priest had the Holy Spirit come upon them. But the Holy Spirit did not dwell with them, those who were godly and righteous. That did not occur until Jesus died on the cross, until there was that ability for the spirit of man to be born again. And so this is very important to understand in our present dispensation, that God is going to be dealing with you and I through the Spirit of God and through this our own spirit that He has placed within us. The spirit of man, if you will, is the candle of the Lord, as Proverbs declares. But we want to see how God dealt with His people, and He manifested Himself in ways that were clearly discernible through the senses, through sight. When the children of Israel saw the presence of God, there was thundering and lightnings, and Mount Sinai was all a smoke. And as Moses shared and obeyed the Lord in terms of developing the tabernacle in the wilderness, where the very manifest presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, was hovering over the meeting place, which was the Ark of the Covenant. It was the tent of meeting, if you will. And the high priest was allowed only once a year to go in there. But we were just sharing, as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, and we know that Eli had corrupted the priesthood. He would not restrain his sons. In fact, verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 3 says, this is the Lord speaking to Samuel, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And so the Philistines came up against Israel, and as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, the Philistines were really afraid because they acknowledged, they had heard the reports of whatever happened to the Egyptians, the mighty gods, and they were afraid. And it says in verse 10 of chapter 4, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. They were defeated. They fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter. Think of this, there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Verse 11, and the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And then a man of Benjamin came to Shiloh where Eli was. Eli was waiting to hear in the news of what the battle, how it was going. And Eli, in verse 14, says, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. And the messenger, verse 17, answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. There has also been a great slaughter among the people. Thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. At which point he falls over backward, is killed. His daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was in process of bearing a child, a son. And in her, at the time of delivery, she gave birth but passed away, but she named the boy child Ichabod because she said the glory is departed from Israel, verse 21, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. So this was a very desperate time, but we see that even though the Philistines did take the Ark of God, I won't take the time, but it was in the land of the Philistines about 5 months, and they were having all kinds of problems, so they sent it back to Israel. We also know that God manifested his glory when, after David gave the throne to Solomon, and Solomon had the task of building the temple. And we know the Shekinah glory was there for hundreds of years. But we see in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 10th, 11th chapters, Ezekiel's been taken to Babylon because God's judgment upon, because of the idolatry and abominations, God's judgment was upon the temple, upon the people of Israel. While in Babylon, he has a vision of Jerusalem, and he sees in the spirit the glory of God departing from the temple and from Jerusalem before it is destroyed by the Babylonians. Now, having shared all that I have up until this point, we see that God dealt with in very tangible ways with his people. There was no mistaking. Even the unsaved, the Philistines, knew that was the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant, right? So man, because we have lost that perfect fellowship with God, we have a hunger for the supernatural. We are creatures of flesh and blood. We receive information through our five senses. And how does that manifest with the unsaved? Well, this hunger, they seek to satisfy it through going to the occult, going to the demonic, trying to understand information, receive power and knowledge, which they can't have just through their five senses. And we see, even with the saved people of God, unless we stay centered in the Word, beloved, this ministry has always exalted the Word of God. The Word says, Thou, the Lord, has exalted Thy Word above all Thy name. And it's only by staying in the Word of God that we can be balanced, we can be focused, we can be thoroughly grounded in proper doctrine. But if we're not willing to do that, sometimes those who are carnal will go off into excesses and deception and will begin to focus on manifestations. And beloved, if we start doing that, if we begin to seek for manifestations, we can get in trouble, because the Word tells us clearly that Satan himself can manifest as an angel of light. And so, how can we, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, because there are camps in the body of Christ that have gone off into serious error and a lot of flakiness because they want manifestations. And beloved, what we need to do is seek not manifestations, but the giver of the gifts. We need to seek God. So I've shared all this because we have a longing that goes beyond our present ability. We because we have experienced the fall, we know death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. We don't have a face-to-face encounter with the Lord unless in his divine will and prerogative he chooses to deal with people. People have had visions of Jesus. The Lord has appeared to them. But that is something that God initiates. And it would be well and safe for us not to seek that. If God wants to give it, wonderful. I know these many decades I've served the Lord, I don't see angels. I don't hear things. The God ministers to me through my spirit, and he shows me, he gives me guidance, he gives me direction. But I don't have supernatural manifestation. Now, that's just because that's how God has chosen to deal with me. There are others that I know, very spiritual people, they've had visions, they've had experiences in God that God has given them. But for you and I, beloved, we have a longing for God's presence. We are going to behold him one day. If we meet him through the grave, our eyes will behold him. Just as Job said, we will see Jesus face to face. Praise God. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our rewards. Or, should the Lord tarry, we will be translated in the rapture, and we will be changed, as it says in Thessalonians, our body of corruption, putting on incorruption. But for now, for the present time, our longing for God's presence can be satisfied through the anointing, through the presence of God. And I'm going to share about that so we can understand how God desires to deal with you and I. There was a tremendous event that occurred. Jesus spoke about it in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 29. He says, He was sending them out as disciples, as witnesses to him and to the end of the earth. But in that 49th verse of Luke 24, he said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He was talking about the birth of the church, if you will. He was talking about the release of the Holy Spirit to infill the believers of God. And as we even reread the book of Acts, after they were filled with the Spirit, it says they were gathered again, praying in one accord, and the Spirit came again. The place was shaken. There was an earthquake. And God refilled them, if you will, with the Holy Spirit. And we can never get enough of God's Holy Spirit. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to take residence in our spirit. But there is another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, where there is a fullness, that is that empowering that the Word of God speaks of. And this is not a time, I don't want to go into teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but in the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul came to the Ephesian believers and he said, "Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?" In other words, since you were saved, have you received this experience? And they said, "Well, we didn't even hear anything about the Holy Spirit." So the point is, on the day of Pentecost, it was an incredible event where the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire appeared, and they were filled with the Spirit. So much so, it was such an amazing experience, the unsaved thought, "Hey, these men are drunk." And Peter said, "Uh-uh, that's not what happened. This is what has been prophesied through the prophets, praise God." Well, I am so excited to move on more, but my time is gone, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can be with me then. Until then, the announcer is going to give our contact information. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, I love you. Thank you for joining me. And may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.